Amir Hashem, this is like a big deal today. We're continuing in the Peleoids, but we're starting a completely new ois. A new letter. We finished up until this point Aleph, and now we're moving into Beis. Brachas. The Indian of blessings. Yadua Maimar Abaseinum Zechron Lavrach. Page 41 in the Peleoids. Okay. So again, Yadua Maimar Abaseinum Zechron Lavrach. It's known well what Chazal tells us. Mesechus Brachas Lamed Hei Omer Aleph. Alanene Me'olim Hazeh B'lei Bracha Ki Godol Anshoy. Such a person who is Nene Me'olim Hazeh, who receives benefit from this world without saying a blessing, without saying a bracha, says the Gemara, you've in a sense stolen from Hashem. You're a ganav. You're a gazlan. And the Gemara even says to the extent you're similar to Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat, who is chayte umachte sarabim, who sinned himself and caused others to sin. I mean, it's a very interesting idea. Why is it that someone who says, who eats food or gets some level of benefit from this world and does not make a bracha before the hana, before the benefit. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, and it's you're compared to Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat, let's talk about exactly what he did. What did he do? He not only caused the Avodah Zarah to be, you know, for himself, he served the Avodah Zarah, but he even caused other Jews to do Avodah Zarah, and he stopped other Jews to come Aliyah L'Regel. Why? What's the biggest chait that Yeravim ben Nevat had? Is that he wanted to be the Melech. Now, he was not. He wanted to be the Melech. He wanted to be a king, but he was not from the house of David. He was not from Ben David. First Beis HaMikdash. Even before the first Beis HaMikdash, right?
Why are we speaking about wanting to be the king now?
What? Because the Gemara compares. If you come closer, because I find out you. Come closer. Come closer. No, seriously. Come closer. The Gemara tells us. Come closer. The Gemara tells us that someone who makes a bracha without getting any hana is compared to Yeravim ben Nevat. I'm speaking now about Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat was the type of person who caused others to sin. Where did that sin come from? It came from the fact that he didn't, because he didn't make brachas. That's the reason why Yeravim ben Nevat is the way he is. And someone who doesn't make a bracha is compared to Yeravim ben Nevat. Like, obviously, that doesn't, it doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't seem to be comparable. Yeravim ben Nevat was literally, he was a Rasha Marusha Eilei Chilkom Haba. How's that possible? It seems to be a little bit like hard to understand why someone who doesn't make a bracha is compared to Yeravim ben Nevat. What's the answer? The Ikr Chet of Yeravim ben Nevat is that he was a Baal Gaiva. He literally was a Baal Gaiva. He couldn't stand the idea that coming down to the base of Megdash Yerushalayim, and the halacha is that the only ones who are allowed to sit in the Azara, no one's allowed to sit down in the Azara. The only ones who are allowed to sit were Bnei David, were from the house of David, from the kings. If he would come at the same time where the split between the two kingdoms, between Yehuda and himself, he would have to stand, and everyone would say, we really know who the real king is over here. And he, at that point, already the other tribes, the other lost tribes, lost now, but the other tribes, they separated in the northern kingdom. And people would say, it doesn't make any sense. This is Yehuda. This Shevet. We see clearly that you're a false king. And he couldn't handle the challenge to his gaiva. So what did he do? Not only would he not go down, he even set up guards down at the border from the northern kingdom down to the southern kingdom, and he would block people from coming down to the Beis HaMikdash. He literally stopped Jews from doing Aliyah L'Regel. And he set up his own temple as well. I'll get to you in a second. That is the gaiva of Yeravim ben Nevat. The gaiva of Yeravim ben Nevat was that he simply couldn't handle the idea of somebody attacking his pride. It's a scary thing. What do you say? Okay, so again, where does that connect to Kol Hanenem Olam Hazeh B'lei Bracha? Because obviously, if someone who's sitting there and feeding themselves and taking everything out of this world without any sense and semblance of appreciation from the one who gave it to you, any sense of appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu who did everything for you, then it's a Baal Gaiva. It stems all from this one yesod of a Baal Gaiva. I'll tell you one small verb from the Altar of Nevardik. He says, it's a very funny, very fascinating thing. Before this plan of Yeravim ben Nevat to stop the Jews from going down to Yerushalayim, Hashem, in a sense, came to him b'nevuah, and he said to him, he says, don't do what you're about to do. Don't do it. If you don't do this, I'm telling you, I promise you, in Shamayim, ato ben yisha italiti b'gan Eden, you and King David are going to walk with me in Gan Eden. So the famous Chazal tell us that what does Yeravim respond? Mi yeh barosh, who's going to be in front? Who's going to walk in front? Is it going to be Ben David, or is it going to be me? So Hashem says, ben yisha yeh barosh, right? David HaMelech will be in the front. So if that's the case, I don't want it. And he went ahead with his whole His whole plan to stop the Jews from coming down Beis HaMikdash. So says the Alter of Nevardik. I don't understand the question. He's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's first? If you take a look at the way that Hashem said it, Ata uben Yishai Yital Iti v'Gan Eden. Who's the first one that appears in that line?
Ata.
You first. In a sense, he already told your Rav who's gonna, that you're first. Seemingly, right?
If
he said you're first. So why does your Rav have to ask it again? Why is he asking who's going to be first? You already, in a sense, got the answer. Says the Alter of Nevardik, I'll tell you why. Because he wanted to hear it again. You know, he wanted to hear that, I'm first. You wanted to hear it first. Hashem says, if that's where you're holding, Ben Yishai Yibroish. And the Chanami, you're not going to be in front. Ben Yishai will instead. Because he gave it up. Because why? He gave in to the Gaiva. It's all about serving this and not serving the greater whole, not serving for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why did Hashem put him first in the first place?
It's a wonderful question. He had, listen, Yeravam ben Nevat had a powerful, powerful neshama. People that seem to be the most evil, because we know Chazal tell us that the greater you are, the higher and stronger Yitzhar is. So such a person, such a Rasha, can only come from being such a big tzaddik, from having the koach and the potential of being a tzaddik. Listen, yeah, you have a question.
I just wanted to add something to what you said. I'm not adding anything really substantial, but something just that he was also afraid of losing people to the king. Once they go for the Rebbeim, he was afraid that that's where they
for sure.
For,
he would,
so therefore, to prevent them from losing his
right.
His
right.
Right.
You have that situation now. You have that in North Korea right now, where the borders are so extreme and so intense that anybody that tries to escape, they shoot them on the spot. Right. That's the only way they can be able to maintain the numbers that they have.
Why? I couldn't make a berachah smoking.
I can't hear you. Why?
What's the reason we don't make a berachah smoking?
Why don't we make a bracha on smoking? It's a great question. Number one, it's not necessarily a hanot to the same degree that drinking is. It's not something you imbibe. What other?
I'm not addicted
to drinking my water every 5 seconds. It's not a hanot to the same degree. If it was a smell, where it's something which is it enlivens you, something which is, you know, we don't even make a bracha that you put on a sichah, that you put on any type of like a lotion on your body. It's a benefit, yeah, but it's not the benefit. Or if you're assuming it's a benefit, but even then, assuming it's a benefit, it's not mechayeh the person to the same degree that, let's say, drinking is and things of that nature. Okay, let's continue further. It's become like a very common thing, a very normal thing, that people will eat without making any brachas. For a lot of people, this is very common occurrence. Some people grow up, they think the only time that you actually have to bench is on Shabbos. Did you know this? There's a lot of people that grew up like this. You ever heard this before?
No.
It's a very common thing that people that grow up, the only time that they saw anybody else bench was on Shabbos, because you get together, you eat the bread, and then at the end of the meal, you make bench. It's actually interesting. Where do you find the Birkas HaMazon in the Siddur, and the Sephardi Siddur specifically?
Where do you find it?
If you need to find the Birkas HaMazon in a Sephardi bench. Oh, why? Because actually in Morocco, not that they didn't, chas v'shalom, not make a bracha if they didn't eat, because it was very not normal to eat bread during the week. The only time they eat bread was on Shabbos.
Oh,
so
in the Ashkenazi Siddur?
What?
It's after Shabbos,
because it's regular, right? It's a very fascinating thing.
Oh, wow.
It's a very fascinating thing, but it leads itself, unfortunately, that when people are not well acquainted with halacha, they may think that the only time actually that you do have to bench is on Shabbos. Okay, and therefore, of course, that's obviously amharatzis. It's total ignorance, because of course you have to make a bracha every time that you wash, eat a kazayis of bread, you're mechuyav min hatorah to make a berachas hamazon. Yesh machmas chasar yodim. Maybe some there are those because they simply just lack the knowledge. She'en yodim shetzarech levarach al davar shenen. They don't have to make a bracha, it's something they can receive a benefit from. V'yesh she'en yodim oifin matbea bracha. Some of them don't even know the proper blessing that you're supposed to say. V'yesh machmas chasar yodim. Maybe they just simply are a little bit lazy. There are many people that say you bring people over, you put out a tray of candies for a guest, and people don't make brachas. It's a scary thing. Oh, it's the worst thing. You can't even say anything about it. You can't even say anything. It's very awkward when you see somebody that's sitting in Bet Eden. They don't even know. What are you supposed to say? Oh, make a bracha. They may not even know. Right? It's a whole halachic question. Let's say, for example, you have Bezek come over to your house.
Who's
one of the workers. Bezek is the Israeli phone company in Israel. Right? Whatever it is. Bring somebody into the house. That's a worker. A Jew, obviously. And they ask for water. They give the water. Are you allowed to give it to them if you know they're not going to make a bracha or not?
No.
So min hadin, according to the letter of the law, you're not allowed to. Because you'd be machshel them. If you know, this is very... So, I've had many, many times where so many people will come in and they'll say, okay, can I have your kippah? Can I have your yarmulke? They'll put it on and they'll make the bracha. See, you can't know 100% for a fact. But nagi that you wouldn't know, it would be usher to give the water.
But we would still give it.
I don't understand what you said. I said, if you don't know for 100% fact, you're allowed to assume that they could, that they probably would. A lot of people are surprised you. Maybe say, if you say, well, can I give you a kippah? What? What's the Chil Hashem there?
That a guy comes into a Haredi man's house and he asks for a cup of water and you say no.
You don't say no, you just say, you don't offer, right?
I'll take from the
bearers. Even then, I don't know what's the Chil Hashem.
So he's going to say, give me like, what? Why aren't you?
But I don't know what's the Chil Hashem.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to understand what we throw around terms. I want to know what the term is and how it applies. Maybe the Chil Hashem is making. Maybe the Chil Hashem is drinking without bracha. Maybe that's the Chil Hashem. We have to kind of redefine our conception of Chil Hashem. He's saying because he comes into a religious home and he refuses to give. First, I never said anything about refusing to give you water. Here, very simple, in a very simple, practical way, you're allowed to get the water. You're allowed to put it on the table and whatever he wants to do after that, that's his. You're allowed to give the water. You're not allowed to hand him the water, knowing he's not going to make a bracha. However, I want to make it very clear. I want to ask a very simple question. What is Chil Hashem? What is a Chil Hashem? The greatest Chil Hashem is not keeping halacha. We have to reframe our conception of what Chil Hashem is. This is not me. This is the Rambam. This is not me. This is Gedolei Yisrael that's saying this. My Rabbi Rav Nevin Salat was asked a very interesting question. Nagid chas v'shom doyer of a person going to a movie. A person going to go to a movie theater. Should he take off his yarmulke or wear it or leave it on going to the movie? Oh, of course, because to wear it would be a Chil Hashem. Says my Rabbi Rav Nevin Salat. Because I tell you the reason why I'm telling this. Says by Rabbi Nevinzal, Victor Nevinzal, who's the Gadol Hadar, he says like this. He says, it's a Chil Hashem to take off the yarmulke.
Put on the hat.
It's a Chil Hashem to take off the yarmulke.
Put a cap on.
It's a Chil Hashem. You're not hearing the word. It's a Chil Hashem to take off the yarmulke. So I mean, what do you mean? It's a Chil Hashem to wear the yarmulke.
Because people that know you, all of a sudden they see you with a cap.
The svar is like this. Do you know what the word Chil Hashem means? Chal, chalot means something which is mundane. By you taking not off your yarmulke, it's about you, not your reputation. It ain't about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reputation.
Fine.
Right? Chil Hashem, by definition, means it is a disrespect to Hashem, that you are being mevazeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Chil Hashem.
There's something in your situation. If a person is in court for fraud, and he's a hussy, he should shave his pants off and come and
blue. I don't know. I can't get involved in all those different questions and scenarios. I can tell you a principle.
The
principle is, so if someone screams out and says, "Oi!" to give the water to somebody, even though you know they're not going to make a bracha, isn't that a Chil Hashem? And I would say, isn't that wearing pajamas and a red balloon? You see how it makes no sense. You're using a term that doesn't apply.
What?
The term is, it could be viewed as disrespectful, which is a very important point. I agree with you. And there's smart ways of how to go about it. I'm not saying you don't give. I'm not saying you don't act like a mensch. But halacha is halacha. Yes, ma'am.
Just asking that in a kind way, would you mind making a bracha?
Some people will take that offensively. Some people will take that offensively. Or more specifically, I'll take even worse. Some people themselves would feel very uncomfortable doing that. I understand it, but it's, you know, obviously we have to rise above because halacha is halacha at the end of the day. I'm like, you can't involve in everything, okay? You know, the way I like this, every Jew should act like their ambassador and they don't want to besmirch God's good name. However, at the end of the day, we have to be humans, and we have to be normal, and it's not fair that, you know, we're held on a pedestal, but we also have to embrace that pedestal. Regardless, we have to apply Chil Hashem in the proper positions, proper scenarios. That's all I'm trying to say. One specific nekuda. Chil Hashem is the highest and greatest Chil Hashem. You know, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, who was not known to be such an extremist, right? Rav Yaakov Weinberg was Rosh Hashiva of Neri Yisrael. Thank you. And who was his brother? Rav Noach Weinberg. And Rav Noach Weinberg's yeshiva start? He started yeshiva Esh HaTayr, which means Kiruv, okay? So he was very partial to the idea of Kiruv itself. Senator Yaakov Weinberg, the greatest Chil Hashem that occurred in the last 100 years. And this is a very extreme line. I didn't say this. I'm not saying I ascribe to it. I'm not saying I don't ascribe to it. I'm just telling you what Rav Yaakov Weinberg said, the Gadol Hador of America. He said the greatest Chilul Hashem that occurred in the last 100 years was that the state of Israel, in its declaration of this of the founding, didn't even thank or mention God. The most it got itself to mention was Sela Yisrael, like the rock of Israel. Nothing to do with God, nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing to do with the history and the beauty of the Klal Yisrael. He was not an extremist, but he was calling it outright, which is it's the Chilul Hashem not to have God in the picture. But we replace God with our own sense of discomfort, which is, oh, it's going to make me feel uncomfortable. And wouldn't that, if I feel, and oh, and even worse, he'll feel comfortable, uncomfortable. And if he feels uncomfortable, that's the Chilul Hashem. There's no God in this picture. Don't bring God into your own internal conflicts and issues. Again, I want to make very clear, if anybody walks away saying, I'm saying you have to be disrespectful, you should be disrespectful to the Bezek worker and not treat them nicely, absolutely not. Be normal. There's other normal ways of thinking it. But don't suck God into your own internal conflicts. That's all I'm saying. A very extreme point, but I think the point nonetheless is still true. You could be respectful. You could put the water down and let them take it. Do whatever they want.
You could also make the guy somehow feel something good by telling him in the right way.
I agree with you. That's called being having common sense and being normal. Again, I'm not saying you can't be normal and think of a normal, nice way to go about things. But all I'm saying is Chil Hashem, it ain't. Yeah.
But I'm saying places, I'm saying, I understand by the money. I'm saying by places, no, it's still a little early, look at that clock. But whatchamacallit?
A minute early.
By like anti-Semitism, where you see like rising anti-Semitism and people that mamish, that's why they're wearing their caps.
Okay.
I'm saying that's a different story.
There's no connection.
Right?
No, wear caps.
One is like,
wear caps. I have a brother who he's not a bad driver, but he wears a hat when he drives because he wants to make sure that in a situation where, God forbid, he gets into, you know, no, like you say, you by accidentally cut somebody off or somebody cuts you off. It just doesn't have to be a Jewish thing. It could just be a thing that you're like, you're angry at the person. Like, it doesn't have to be everything raises to the level of, you know, Amsterdam in 2024. You know, it's like not everything has to, you know, that don't make, to make light of it. So one of the answers he gives also as to why you shouldn't take off your yarmulke is because the hope also is that by not taking off your yarmulke, it'll actually end up not doing it to begin with as well. I mean, it would be so awkward for you to be like, this is not my place. I'm sorry. That's not who I am.
Okay, so maybe for Schmutz movies, that's...
We're not going to start, you know, cutting all the little nuances. Again, I talk about principles. How you apply the principles, that's a day-to-day life. But the yisoid is, that's for sure not... That's the Chilul Hashem in that situation would be taking the yarmulke off. Okay, hatzlacha.